Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. And it's time now for us to return to our Lorain County's first response series. It's a project of the Lorain County Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284. First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. Today, we are talking about stigma and addiction. And here to help us discuss that is Kelly Brill, Senior Minister at Avon Lake United Church of Christ. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I am good. It's my pleasure to be here talking about this difficult topic and trying to help some people who might be listening.
Well, let's begin with the nuts and bolts of this. And what exactly is the definition of stigma?
The dictionary would tell you that it is a mark of shame. It also is sometimes associated with the difficult history of slavery, the mark, the actual brand that was put onto people's skin. Now it suggests really that ugly mark that you don't see. And society often places a stigma on whole groups of people, like the mentally ill or those living with addiction.
And along those same lines, you know, why is it that stigma is such an incredible problem, especially as it relates to the elements of addiction?
Well, as we've been talking about in our congregation, as we've been talking about this issue, where there is stigma, there are often whispers instead of offers of support and concern. Stigma keeps people from asking for and receiving the help they need, whether that is the person living with addiction or the family members, friends of those living with addiction. I learned a really startling statistic when I started researching this topic, which is only 10% of people living with addiction seek treatment. And I have verified that in Lorain County with the people who work directly with this issue, and they've said, yeah, that's about right. And the main problem is stigma. People are ashamed to get help. They're sort of carry, as one person I read said, it's sort of like wearing a scarlet A for addiction on your chest, that there's so much blame and guilt that goes along with this illness that people, it just becomes part of the downward spiral. People don't seek help, and then people get worse, and then their family members lose them, and then they don't seek help, and it really becomes literally a life and death issue.
It's fascinating that you bring that up, because when you were describing the definition of stigma, the scarlet letter, which is kind of what you described there earlier, is kind of what I envisioned in the back of my mind there as well. So it's fascinating that you brought up that exact example. What is it that we can try to do to reduce stigma as it relates to addiction?
When I preached a sermon about this a couple of weeks ago, I did some reading, and one of the books I read opened my eyes to the fact that all of us have addictions. And when I talked to the congregation that I serve about this, I said, you know, I'm addicted to coffee. I wrote this sermon when I was on a business trip. I was up in the hotel lobby at 5 in the morning drinking cup after cup of coffee while I'm writing a sermon about addiction. I have an addiction to playing games on my phone. You know, now, are those as serious as a heroin addiction? Of course not. But the point is, we all have some sort of addictions which keep us from living as full or as healthy a life as we could. And if we start to see this as a we problem instead of a they problem, I think it helps us become more empathetic with people. So we all have something. It might be chocolate, it might be gambling, you know, it might, whatever it is. We all have some sort, we all live with some sort of addiction. None of us is perfect. And so if we start to realize that, gosh, you know, it could be this for me, or that could have happened to my child, empathy is huge in this area. We start to break down the feeling that this only happens to certain kinds of people or bad people. And I'll tell you that addiction has affected my own family, and we have lost people in our family to this disease. And I have started talking about that so people can see that, gosh, you know, it could happen to her, it could happen to anybody. And we, you know, more compassion is needed, and the words that we use really matter. And if people start to think of themselves as people worthy of dignity and respect, and if family members start to believe that they deserve help and they deserve compassion, you know, it all makes a difference. It's all of our problem, and we all have a part in the solution.
Again, we're talking with Kelly Brill, senior minister at Avon Lake United Church of Christ, talking about stigma and addiction today here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And we're going to come back around to the language that relates to both addiction and stigma here in just a moment. But you were onto something I wanted to go back to for just a moment here, talking about how, you know, we all have an addiction in some form or fashion, and, you know, breaking down the barriers, opening up forums of discussion, getting folks into a position where they're comfortable enough to talk about these things. As you mentioned, you know, some of these addictions may not be as harmful as some others, but, you know, I think one of the things you always run into is when you talk to folks who have health issues, you know, whether it be a diabetic that is having a very difficult time making changes to their diet, or as you mentioned in your own situation, look, sometimes you get addicted to coffee because you're trying to make sure that you've got enough mental energy to get through what you need to get through. I think you would agree it's very important for everybody to kind of open up a little bit and certainly find a good starting point to break down barriers and have a nice big open discussion to find out how we can help each other.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and we're going to get now into the language portion of this and talk about why what we say and how we say it is so important in relation to addiction and stigma. Can you elaborate on that, why language is so incredibly important to both of these elements?
Well, let me use the example you just gave. If I know that you are a person living with diabetes, I'm not going to introduce you as, this is Andy the diabetic. I'm going to introduce you as Andy, and diabetes is one part of who you are. So how often do we call people addicts? We label them as if we're summarizing their entire being into that, you know, in that negative manner. If you say, for example, instead, you know, this is a person who has an addiction, this is a person with a substance abuse disorder, it reminds all of us that first or foremost, Andy is a person. You know, Kelly is a person. It's not about being politically correct. It's about seeing someone, whether that's a person in need of treatment or a family member in need of counseling, as a person worthy of dignity or respect. It's reminding us, too, that addiction is an illness. Now, does it involve some behavioral choices? Yes, but like you said, a lot of illnesses involve behavioral choices, and we don't just completely summarize the person as, oh, there's, you know, heart attack Frank over there. You know, there's cancer Lois over there. You know, it's the person is a person first. And think about the language, like we'll say that a person who uses drugs is dirty, or their test came back clean or dirty. We start to just think about people in these demeaning ways, instead of seeing that, first of all, you know, that is a person with an illness, and that is a person who needs our help and support.
Sure, and I would think along those same lines, removing the tag is certainly the first step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Kelly, what kinds of groups do you think could really be the most helpful and assist in the process of addressing both stigma and addiction?
Well, that may be a little bit beyond my scope. At the church that I serve, we decided to start studying this issue because so many people are affected, and our county has been so devastated by this illness, this disease. And so we did a book. We all read a book, which I highly recommend. The name of the book is Dreamland, and it's about all of the aspects of the opioid crisis, and there's a really big Ohio connection to all of this. And then we started talking to all of the providers in the county who deal with this issue, and we said, what can we do to help? And one of the things we do is try to provide some support to the sober living facilities in the county, you know, bring meals, offer activities and things like that. And secondly, these agencies all said to us, the number one thing you can do is talk to the congregation members about this issue of stigma. And that really struck me, that I'm thinking, like, wow, that's the most important thing we can do, is talk about a word And that shows you how powerful that word is and how much it affects. It even affects, you know, certain healthcare providers and the way people are treated when they go into the ER. You know, the mindset, language affects behavior. And if we can start to change the mindset, I think we can start to change the behavior. One person told me, even though he has been clean and sober for over 10 years, he feels like he faces stigma every single day. People do not understand. It's sort of a lifetime of unequal treatment and prejudice and discrimination because once he had this disease.
It can be a difficult thing to erase, no
Absolutely.
Question about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kelly, you know, given what you do for a living, why is it specifically that you believe churches individually should care about the addiction issue?
Well, as a Christian person, I try to live my life according to, you know, what do I think Jesus would do? And Jesus continually sought out the person who was the most misunderstood in society, the person who was treated the poorest in society, the most vulnerable person. And I have to think that, you know, if Jesus were walking in Lorain County today, Jesus would seek out the person living with addiction and that person's family members and friends as someone in special need of attention. So that's what we're trying to do here at our church.
Very good. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for the time. You know, it was certainly a pleasure to sit down and speak and go over some of these topics here and really address both stigma and addiction. Again, we thank you very much for the time, and we hope you have a nice weekend.
Thanks for all you're doing in this area, too.
Thank you very much. Again, Kelly Brills, Senior Minister at Avon Lake United Church of Christ, today talking about both stigma and addiction. It's all part of our Lorain County's First Response Series, a project of the Lorain County Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return with more right after this on AM 930 WEOL.